headlines. This hour, Gulf of Mexico oil spill responders are exposed to dangerously high levels of hazardous chemicals. The UN says the Israeli separation wall deprives Palestinians of access to hospitals. And scores of people are killed as bomb blasts rock in northwestern Pakistan.
It is 1 a.m. in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and 6 p.m. in Washington, D.C. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, new data show more than 20% of oil spill responders in the Gulf of Mexico have been exposed to a hazardous chemical. New test results released by BP show potentially hazardous exposures to a substance blamed for contributing to chronic health problems. The chemical known as 2-butoxyethanol has been detected at levels up to 10 parts per million in more than 20% of offshore responders and 15% of those near shore. The standard set by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health for the chemical is 5 parts per million. This is half the level that has been detected in those responders. Meanwhile, efforts are underway to place a new containment cap over the gushing oil. Operation is the latest attempt to contain the spill that was sparked by an oil rig explosion on April the 20th.
Reports say that top officials from intelligence agencies in Russia and the U.S. have had negotiations leading to the recent spy swap. The Wall Street Journal says the director of the CIA and his Moscow counterpart allegedly held talks prior to the swap of 10 Russians held in U.S. custody for 4 Western spies. The trade has ended with spies from both parties at their destination. Russia has confirmed that all 10 of its people are home. They were deported from the U.S. The spies have now been handed over to Moscow. In return, Moscow has handed over 4 Russians convicted of spying for the West to the U.S. The swap comes as part of an agreement between Washington and Moscow.
It has been called the biggest spy swap since the Cold War. The exchange took place at the Vienna airport, Austria. 10 Russians who had lived for years in the United States were put on a flight to Moscow, while 4 Russians who had spied for Britain and the United States were sent back from the cold. Last time Washington and Moscow traded spies was in 1986. That swap took place across the Gleinecker Bridge linking East and West Germany. But this time, all the world witnessed was 2 planes and a gangway through which the Americans and the Russians traded the spies. The 2 planes then took off and headed to their home countries. Earlier on Thursday, and as part of the swap, 10 Russian spies pleaded guilty to their charges, but they did so only after a deal was made to secure their release. FBI officials had accused the 10 of assuming false identities in the US while trying to gather sensitive intelligence on the country. Russia, on the other side, pardoned 4 people accused of espionage. Russian officials say the swap took place to improve the country's ties with the United States and give them new dynamics. Analysts, however, believe the swap and the release of the Russian arms researcher and nuclear scientist Igor Sutyagin was what this story has been all about.
New evidence has implicated former U.S. President Richard Nixon and former National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger in a 1970 CIA assassination attempt in Chile.
At the time, Nixon and Kissinger were running a campaign to overthrow the democratically elected Chilean president Salvador Allende. Kissinger was caught on tape ridiculing the assassination attempts on Chilean General René Schneider. In the recording, Kissinger talks about the late general and makes clear references to the 3 assassination attempts. The former security advisor has always claimed that he broke off contact with Schneider's killers before the 3rd assassination attempt. The general was finally murdered in 1970. 3 years after his death, Chile fell into the hands of the dictator Augusto Pinochet, who came into power in a U.S.-backed coup.
The UN says Israel's separation wall makes it difficult for Palestinians to get proper health care. A report by the Office of the Coordinator for Humanitarian Affairs has found that thousands of Palestinians have limited access to hospitals in East Jerusalem al-Quds because of the wall. The UN's report notes that the barrier has also hurt farmers in the West Bank. It's now 6 years since the International Court of Justice declared the wall illegal. The court also called on Israel to remove the wall and compensate Palestinians affected by its construction.
A charity headed by a son of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi is sending an aid ship to the besieged Gaza Strip. The aid ship is carrying about 2,000 tons of food and medicine for Gazans. The vessel will leave from a port in Greece. Organizers say they want to break Israel's illegal blockade of Gaza. Israel's envoy to the UN says the mission is provocative. The move comes over a month after a deadly Israeli attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla killed nine Turkish aid activists and injured over 50 others.
We are doing what we can. This is our responsibilities. If everyone just stands, hang up there and say the Israelis will not allow this, nothing will happen, and the people of Gaza will continue under starvation. This is the least international community could do, and the Israelis must be put before their obligations that are detailed and enshrined in international values, international treaties, international humanitarian law. And we have no intention of doing anything otherwise.
We'll try to explain to the others that we're just helping the people, just to give them. We have nothing in the ship except rice, oil, tomato, that's flour, that's all what we have. We didn't have a weapon, we don't have guns, we don't have, you know, even small knife or something, because we are came for peace, to help.
The UN has once again called on Israel to end its occupation of the Lebanese border village of Qajar. United Nations spokesman in southern Lebanon says Israel's withdrawal is a matter of high importance. Earlier, some reports said that Tel Aviv had approved a plan to leave the border village, but the UN and officials from the US and France say they are unaware of such plans. Israeli forces captured the village following Israel's 33-day war against Lebanon in 2006. Once again, massive blasts have hit northwest Pakistani tribal agency.
Well, the attack killed at least 65 people and wounded dozens more in the Momand ethnic Pashtun tribal region on the Afghan border. Here's more.
The attack targeted an office of a senior government official in the Momand ethnic Pashtun tribal region on the Afghan border.
Soon after the blast, we rushed there, fearing some of our dear ones may have been hit. When we got there, we saw nothing but dead bodies all over the area. We and the ambulances started shifting the injured to the hospitals.
The huge explosion destroyed more than 70 shops in the commercial neighborhood while damaging several cars nearby. The blasts went off within seconds of each other when more than 200 people gathered outside the office and the officials were distributing wheelchairs to disabled people and equipment to poor farmers. The country's top Taliban group, Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan, has claimed responsibility for the attack, saying an anti-Taliban jirga was going on in the area.
While I was at the gate, I heard two blasts. First one was a small one, but the second one was of huge intensity. It was really a massive explosion. I guess heavy explosives must have been used in it.
Situation is that the coward act has been carried out. This is a coward act because there was a peace in Momand Agency, especially this Yakavut Tehsil was very peaceful. The life was normal, you know. There was business here. People were happy because of the peace. And this peace was, you know, it was not liked by the militants.
The attack came days after the information minister for Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, formerly known as Northwest Frontier Province, in a press conference said that Taliban are reorganizing in the tribal agencies around the city of Peshawar and are planning major attacks. Maman is one of the seven semi-autonomous tribal agencies of Northwest Pakistan, which have witnessed rising in recent weeks as security forces have been fighting against Taliban believed to be hiding in the tribal belt. Security forces claim to have cleared Pakistan's tribal agencies of Taliban. However, recent incidents and reports have raised fears that Taliban are regrouping in the area. Zahid Hussain, Press TV, Peshawar.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Gulf of Mexico oil spill responders are exposed to dangerously high levels of hazardous chemicals. The UN says the Israeli separation wall deprives Palestinians of access to hospitals. And scores of people are killed as bomb blasts rock northwestern Pakistan.
China has always exported immigrants. Now it could turn into a country that receives them. We'll bring you the details in the next half of the bulletin. Stay tuned to Press TV.
June have seen the highest U.S. fatalities in Afghanistan with 94 troops killed. The deaths account for almost 8% of U.S. fatalities since the 2001 invasion.
Well, now a top U.S. commander in charge of the day-to-day operations warns that U.S. casualties will continue to rise. David Rodriguez said troop deaths will increase as the military attempts to oust the Taliban from their strongholds. Speaking at a Pentagon briefing, he claimed Afghanistan is on the right track despite ethnic tensions and the growing number of troop fatalities. Rodriguez said that he is not expecting a change in strategy with David Petraeus replacing Stanley McChrystal. He also announced that the main focus of the war will be establishing security in southern Afghanistan.
Official data shows the price of goods leaving factories in Britain fell in June for the first time since late 2008. The Office for National Statistics said producer prices slid by 0.3% last month compared with May. Economists said the data indicated that inflation is set to fall in the coming months. The data also showed that Britain's imports increased nearly 2.5% in May from April. This means the trade in goods deficit has jumped to more than $12 billion. The deficit is the biggest level since the start of 2010. Meanwhile, the latest agreement between the EU and the US to transfer banking information of European citizens to the US Treasury has prompted sharp criticism.
Well, correspondent in Brussels, Preeti Nalu, reports on the information sharing agreement that has been passed by the European Parliament to remain in effect for the next 5 years.
It is a deal that will allow the US to sift through personal banking information of EU citizens. This is data that would otherwise be inaccessible to any authority outside the EU. But the EU Parliament has passed the informational sharing plan after months of political wrangling with the US. The so-called SWIFT agreement allows the US Treasury to receive regular data transfers from SWIFT, which is the Belgium-based cooperative in charge of interbank financial transactions in the EU. The purpose of the data? Well, according to the US and the EU, this is a preventative measure for combating terrorism, and it falls under the terrorism finance tracking programs that were initiated in the aftermath of 9/11. Earlier this year, in February, the European Parliament had rejected a similar agreement on grounds of privacy concerns and data protection.
But the European Union has agreed this time on the basis of greater oversight powers and a supposedly limited data transfer. EU Commissioner for Home Affairs, Cecilia Malmström, expressed the vital need for the EU to undertake proactive measures against existing threats of terrorism. She explains the need for data transfer to the US on the premise that the European Union is not presently equipped to handle such surveillance. But experts at European Digital Rights explain that bulk transfers could result in breaches of fundamental rights of EU citizens.
Well, the main reason that the Parliament rejected it the first time was that they were worried about the fact that bulk data was being transferred. They were worried about the protections that would be given to the data in the US. And they were worried about the necessity, whether or not it actually is needed to have the data transferred. And really, none of those three points have been definitively answered.
They explained that the agreement could expose confidential financial information of EU citizens to third parties.
Large packages of data have to be transferred to the US rather than specific data based on a specific investigation or a specific suspicion. So a lot of completely innocent data belonging to innocent civilians is transferred to the US each time a request is made. While there are limitations, those limitations aren't particularly clear, so we don't actually know in practice what this will mean.
The agreement that has already prompted an outcry amongst critics will remain in effect for 5 years. It is expected to cause ongoing debate and opposition from members of the EU Parliament as well as civil rights groups. Preethi Nalu, Press TV, Brussels.
Chinese authorities have seized a massive 76 tons of melamine-tainted milk powder in the northwestern Gansu province.
Well, this is the same toxic chemical that was responsible for the deaths of 6 babies 2 years ago. The powder was seized when tests showed it contained up to 500 times the allowed level of the lethal chemical. Reports say both the factory owner and production manager have been detained. Melamine is used to make plastic but has been illegally added to dairy products to indicate higher protein content. In 2008, melamine was found in the products of 22 Chinese dairy companies. 300,000 infants fell ill and several others died of poisoning.
China is in the process of reviewing its laws concerning international immigrants. The move comes to help China transform from a country that exports population to one that receives outbound immigrants. Our correspondent Jenny Hammond has more details.
As the Middle Kingdom is becoming an increasingly popular place for foreigners to settle and do business, China's government is working on a new draft law that aims to revise the country's rigid visa policy and modify specific laws that apply to foreigners.
Visiting China has become less troublesome in the past decade. However, it still remains difficult for foreigners to obtain long-term visas.
Foreign visas are a difficult issue for all countries, not just China, as governments must put their own country's citizens first. However, China does not mean to discourage foreigners, and already there are 5-year visas available for foreigners who have made extraordinary contribution to the country. As China's economy grows, more foreigners want to come here. In turn, China wants foreigners to invest in the country. So easing visa regulation will continue to stimulate economic growth.
The new immigration law, which is expected to come out next year, should address all issues concerning foreigners and include rules about entering and leaving the country, long-term residency permits, border inspection, deportation, refugees, transnational crime and transnational flow. Jenny Hammond, Press TV, Shanghai, China.
Well, that's all for this edition of the World News here on Press TV. Be sure to visit our website, presstv.ir, throughout the day.